Shambhu. outfit or bad as the handcart had been situated before. Stop-y-tum.
Stop-y-tum.
Again assembled with the pots.
Situated properly.
Bo-pai.
Bo-pai.
By the cowherd men.
Bali-vi.
All of whom were very strong and stout. And who could therefore assemble the parts without difficulty. Saparichadam.
Saparichadam.
With all the paraphernalia kept on it. Vipra. The Brahmanas. Bhutva. After performing a fire ceremony. Archayam. Chakru. Performed ritualistic ceremonies. Dati. With curd.
Akshata,
grains of rice,
Kusha,
and Kusa grass,
Ambuvi,
with water. The assembled gopis and gopas, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children, and therefore they neglected these statements as being childish talk. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. After the strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed a ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet. And then, with rice grains, kusha water, and curd, they worshipped the Supreme Lord. Purport. The handcart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. To set the cart back in its original position required much strength. But this was easily done by the cowherd men. Then, according to the system of the Gopa Jati, various Vedic ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. Some inauspicious occurrence, it is the custom of Vedic civilization to have qualified Brahmins immediately chant Vedic hymns to counteract it. Mother Yashoda did this properly and allowed the baby to suck her breast. The idea in Vedic society is that everything should be auspicious, everything should be nice, everything should be proper. What is desired. Everybody wants this. But in Vedic society, then they knew how to get this. What would be the considerations? Because if you want to get something, you must know what you're dealing with. If you don't know what you're dealing with, you can't know how to operate it to get something out of it. So this is an important element, is that due to the knowledge based on the Guru Sadhu and Shastra, the Vedic culture had this understanding. They knew how to get auspiciousness from the material energy. While those non-Vedic civilizations, then whatever is left from their previous connection, then something may be there. But otherwise, they don't know themselves. They don't know what it is that they are looking for to operate. They know that result is there. That's inherent. It means every living entity wants to be happy, wants to enjoy, wants to feel that their situation is nice, is good, and it will last. So that is always there. But how to go about it, they don't know, because each lifetime is different. Each animal body, each form of life, there's a different method of what makes them happy. So this then is lost, but the inherent desire is always there. So the Vedic culture is based on how to actually satisfy that inherent desire. Now, some may say, well, it's not. But if we dig, we can see it actually is the desire. It actually is what people require. So Krishna, knowing this, then he has created it in this way. And those that don't do, you know, previous lifetimes, because everything's different each lifetime, then there'll be a difference of opinion. No, it should be done this way, it should be done that way. But that is a detail for the specific aspect, like we see here, is that the brahmanas want to create an auspicious atmosphere, but they will do that according to the gopajati. Means what has been seen to be pleasing to the gopas. You know, it means that the Vaishyas in this community, then they always perform certain ritualistic activities that amongst their group, they feel the work has been done. Whatever is inauspicious has been removed, auspicious has been established, and like this. So different people will have different, naturally different methods. But you can only find those methods, those various methods, if you understand the principle. What's actually behind it, what causes it. Like this. So auspiciousness wants to be there. So now for the Vaishyas, then the auspiciousness must be that things are removed that will create any kind of disturbance that will either disturb, you know, the pleasantness of what's going on and of the prosperity. Of course, that applies to everyone, but specifically it'll be emphasized that if the atmosphere is bad, then business will not go well. And if the atmosphere is bad, then who will enjoy? Because these are there. You get money. What will you do with the money? You'll enjoy your money. You'll enjoy with friends and relatives and well-wishers. So that must be removed. So in here, then, there's a side discussion, is that then it will be thought that those mantras are actually in control. Those mantras, by that mantra, I will get rid of anything auspicious, inauspicious. This means that before it happens, I will get rid of it. So that's the idea. By control, I will do this activity, and that will then stop the planet from giving a bad influence or other people from giving a bad influence and all that. What we see here is that the activities already happened. The situation has already occurred. There already is some calamity. And so now they're doing it. So one may think, well, why do it now? It's already over. But the point is there's the effect, because you're dealing with the mind. The mind itself is affected by it. Auspiciousness, inauspiciousness, prosperity, lack of prosperity is simply a mental consideration. It's nothing to do with the externals. One could say, no, it's very much to do with the externals. But then in any situation you say, okay, why is it things not going well in a certain place in the world or family or community? And so many externals will be said. But now you can take the same externals, look somewhere else, and find great prosperity. This is always going on. When the stock market crashes, millions of people are losing money, but a few people are making a lot of money. Does that make sense? Means, let us say on the market, there is $1 million. So now, and 100 people are dealing with that $1 million. So now, the market goes down. So 99 people are losing money. So that means one person is making $1 million. Because it's always the same amount of money. Does that make sense? Right? It means you have, let's say you have a basket of mangoes, and you have 10 kids, and they're just about to eat the mangoes, and then something happens, and 9 of them get scared and run off, then how many does the one kid get? And then he gets the whole basket. It's not that it changes. So it's just a matter of basically the mind. That's the interesting thing. It's we create what's auspicious and what's inauspicious. But this inauspiciousness naturally has a basic standard, an underlying standard. that, you know, things should be, you know, how you say, there should be continuity, there should be happiness, there should be progress, that in any situation will be there. And then according to the individual detail, there'll be some difference. You know, what these will call prosperity will be one thing, and what a different group of persons call as prosperity is something else, like that. You know, so these are the different situations, you know, that the mind will consider. So that will vary. So amongst the Mleccas Yavanas, then they'll consider something is very prosperous when all the four regulating principles are being broken all at the same time. Then it's very prosperous. You know, well, those of the Vedic culture know that that kind of activity would give problem later. So therefore, if all of them are being maintained and people are together and having a good time, that's better. That's more auspicious. So, but the underlying principle is the same. So here is the Brahmins. Then actually what's happening is you're removing the inauspiciousness in the mind that has been created by the mind thinking this is inauspicious. Right? As we hear this story, we know it's a very auspicious situation. Krishna has kicked the cart. The demon has been killed. There's nothing inauspicious there. But for the cowherd boys and cowherd men and women, then is it inauspicious because something has happened that's not normal? They can't find the cause. So this is very strange. You know, something out of the ordinary. So that means continuity is not there. And they don't know what it is, so it's not illuminating. So it's inauspicious. Right? But for us, then it's the continuity of Krishna's pastimes and the auspiciousness of, you know, what Krishna does. He's removing the demons, he's establishing the devotees, he's all these things. So then they want that removed because the mind is feeling bad. So then according to their group, according to their jat, then certain things are done. So then they have a yajna, they chant Vedic mantras, they do these different things. And, you know, and specifically for their community, then they feel happy. They feel that things have been adjusted, everything will be fine now, everything will be all right. So then they are happy, and then they go on, and then again, everybody's, you know, there's a nice atmosphere and a nice feeling in the festival. So that's the whole idea, is that people have to have a method for all these things. And if there isn't, that's lack of culture. Because they'll find something, but the replacement will not be very good. You know, okay, you know, something goes wrong, and well, what to do, or you know, break out something to drink, or do something to all forget about it, or you know, bring in ignorance. Some ritual will be there, some statement will be there, some cliche that everybody takes shelter of, and that will then create their auspicious or inauspicious environments. So the Vedic, but the problem is they don't give any long-term good effect. While the Vedic, then it's there to ensure that it goes smoothly, successfully. Krishna wants to see the living entities are prosperous. And the difficulty is that we're not always used to this prosperity, you know, especially in Kali Yuga. Because the Vedic prosperity is meant for the improved mind. When the mind becomes purified, when it becomes developed, then one appreciates so many things. Like when we may be new in Krishna consciousness, then we may find, you know, we don't need so many things. We're just, you know, something simple, some nice prasad, you know, a few things, you know, that enliven us, and that's enough. And finer than that, we don't, aren't interested. But as time goes, then finer things are appreciated. The subtleties of interaction with devotees, the various situations are appreciated. But then, how do you deal with that? Right? Because in the beginning, we just threw out everything from whatever our background was, just, you know, took up a shot, we put on our funny clothes, and mud on our forehead, and go out singing, and this and that. And it works great. But as refinement is there, purification is there, then so many needs or gaps come up. How are those filled? Right? So we either create something of our own, something unique, Or we fall back on whatever we used to do before that worked for us. Or we move forward and take up what the scriptures say. These are basically the alternatives. Because one can't go on forever in a vacuum. Right? Like that. There's no such thing as a cultural vacuum anywhere in the cosmic creation. There's not one in the spiritual world. There's not the Vedic culture. You know, animal society, they have their culture, right? You know, dogs bark at each other. They come up and, you know, whatever they do, they have their method. And you can be assured that any dog anywhere in the world will do exactly the same thing. I've even seen sometimes these little dinky dogs, about this big, you know, like a little chihuahua or something like that. And then this big monster dog, I don't remember, a St. Bernard or a Great Dane or something. The two of them, they recognize they're both dogs. And so they come up and they, you know, go around each other and sniff and this and that. And, you know, it's so funny. A little dog this big, some dog this big. So anywhere you go in the world, any species of dog, they have the same culture. So then they're confident. They know that they can do this and, you know, it will be properly reciprocated and understood. So something must be there. There's no vacuum anywhere. Now, the only place it can happen is for the human being. You can either take the Vedic, follow what everybody else does, or make up his own. Like that. So then, by Prabhupada's recommending, that, you know, these simple things that are given that are not, that are supportive of the Gaudiya Vaishnav, you know, goal and culture, you know, and direction, philosophy, then those we follow. And those that are not so much, that are more for those who are interested to go to the heavenly planets or other places, those aspects we don't worry about so much like this. The point Srila Prabhupada makes is that about here is the cowherd men, then they very easily put the cart back in order. So that means he says they were very strong. Because if carts are big, they have to put it back, get the wheels back on the axle, put everything back in the cart and all this. But he said it was easy for them because they were very strong, helpful. So one can see if one takes plenty of dairy products, one will be very healthy and like that. One doesn't have to worry about that. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes we get criticized because we're doing yajnas and we worship in Nishimadev, and then some devotees, they bring up quotes from scripture that they say that you should give up even the worship of Lakshminarayan or Lakshminishimadev because even that should be given up when you progress in the spiritual life. And then here you see that in the Brahmanas, they don't just worship. They're living in Vrindavan, they are Vrindavan devotees. So they not just worship Lakshmi Nishima, they were like Nanda Maharaj Dada, also Lakshmi Nishima Puja, but they worship Navagrahas and some other things. So, what how is with energy?
That's, you're saying that statement wasn't made by our own devotees.
It's Kondivans.
Yes. Oh, I mean, so 7 Arjits a day they worship Nishima Dev, and it's okay for them to sing, but you should. I'm saying, we always have to remember that the household deity of Nanda Maharaj is Nishimadev. Other forms, the point is that's that person's view, he only sees Lakshmi Nishimadev. You know, like that. It means if he doesn't see Krishna, it means the song is Keshava Drita Nada Hari Rupa. So then if they only see Lakshmi Nishimadev, that's their problem. Like that, if he makes such a distinction between Krishna and Krishna, that's his problem. You know, Krishna here in Mayapur and Krishna in Vrindavan, they make a distinction. Okay, this is maybe a different flavor. It's the same person. You know, there's this idea God can only be fixed in one thing, and that's it. I can have so many aspects of my personality and the way I dress and that, but God can only have one, right? Now, why can God only have one? Because the aspect of my brain that can deal with God is very underdeveloped, right? When it comes to my food, my clothes, this, that, is quite developed, so I can have quite a variety. And 30 pairs of shoes and 20 pairs of pants and all these different things. And I can accommodate that and see the subtleties, how they should match together, this pant with this shoe and this and that, so many things. But God is always going to be the same, right? So the point is Krishna, Vishnu is Krishna. It's just Krishna at the office. That's all. Someone's got to create, maintain, and destroy this place. If it wasn't, we'd have no place to be. We're unqualified to be in the spiritual realm. Where would we be? Right? And, you know, you might get, like if you're in the snow too much, you get that blindness and glare. Like that. So, you know, wandering around in the Brahman, you might get, you know, can't see you. Plus nothing to stand on, you know. So it wouldn't be very, beneficial, you know, all these conditioned souls being vagrants in the, you know, it means there's no streets in Vermont either, so you can't even be a vagrant on the streets. So there has to be some place, somebody has to create it, so Krishna does it. So that mood that he does it in, that's Vishnu. That's the Purusha avatars. And to do that only takes a very small amount of his ability, his qualities, because the material world is such a, isn't very special. So, therefore, Vishnu isn't as attractive or sweet or wonderful as Krishna. You know, because that's all it does. It means he only has to do that much, so Krishna only manifests that much to do that much. Why go manifest more, right? You know, like that. You know, you're going to go down to the beach, you know, for a swim. You don't put on a tuxedo. Right? You know, you wear what's appropriate. So he's just creating the material world, so he only has to manifest that much of his potencies and moods and everything like that. So it's the same person. So this means, though the person is trying to establish themselves as advanced, we don't worship Lakshmi Nrisimha, we're worshippers of Radha and Krishna. Actually, they've just proven themselves that they don't even understand who is Krishna. That's aspect is there. Yajna means, and they always have to remember that the worship of Nrisimhadeva and that Lord Chaitanya used to do, and Srila Prabhupada gave it to us. So we always have to be very, very careful that we're not more expert at the, you know, understanding of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta than, you know, Srila Prabhupada the Acharyas. Like that. Then the yagyas are just are the Pancharatric and Vedic method of, you know, consummating things. And people need that. Bring me a conditioned soul who doesn't need. Right? Now, if you just said, okay, let's say an initiation, all it was is, you know, would you be my guru? Why, sure. And that's it. How seriously would anybody ever take that? It was that easy to get. It's that easy to, well, and that's, you know, things are different, you know, like that. So I've decided this one now, you know. So in initiation and marriages and any kind of thing where there's a need of a rite of passage, there must be something that the living entity knows something's happened, not only them, but everybody else, you know. Because otherwise, if nobody else knows, then okay, today this one's your guru, tomorrow that one's your guru. But if everybody knows, you sat in, yeah, you went through this whole thing, then when they say, oh, well, this one's my guru, wait a minute, yesterday that one was your guru. You know, so it puts restraints on the mind of the living entity. So yajna is a very standard thing. Everybody in the Vedic culture all accepts that because it's the original Vedic method of sacrifice. All other things are expanding from that. In the material world, the Pancharatric aspects are what's in the Vedic sacrifice that only has to do with Vishnu. And the Bhagavat then is what is dealing only with Vishnu but on the transcendental platform. It doesn't deal with the other elements of material Vedic material culture. So that's all it is. So it's the original that everything in the whole Vedic society can go back to. So a yajna is a very natural thing. But it has potency, it has meaning. So even as devotees, it's not our main thing, but it has meaning. You know? like that. Honoring prasad is a valuable spiritual activity, but eating prasad is not. You understand? Eating prasad takes care of your body. Honoring prasad, you advance in devotional service. Of course, because it is Krishna, even if you just eat and don't honor, you still make some benefit. Does that make some sense? So the point is, say what they like, the consistent soul, basically speaking, is only dealing with material energy. But that material energy, because it's connected to Krishna, becomes empowered. So that's where they're getting the benefit. Right? Otherwise, their dhoti is spiritual, their toothbrush is spiritual, you know, they're sleeping, their bed is spiritual, the floor they're laying on is spiritual. No, because it's used in Krishna's service, therefore it's spiritual. That the thing itself is mundane. So the interesting thing is whatever they're conditioned to, that they don't even think about. That just goes without saying, that we're just being practical and normal. Anything that's new and different, something like Vedic culture, oh, that's fanatic, that we don't do, oh, that, this, that. There's a saying, Bengali's saying is that you sharpen the knife on the tree, and then after sharpening the knife on the tree, you cut the tree to see if it's sharp. So you'll find a lot of so-called, you know, pundits, they do this a lot to Prabhupada. They read Prabhupada's books, by reading Prabhupada's books, then Prabhupada says, don't get caught up in the ritual. Don't become ritualistic. And so then any ritual Prabhupada's given, they say, oh, here's a ritual, this is nonsense. So that's called cutting the tree after sharpening the knife. They learn the knowledge from Prabhupada. So if Prabhupada's giving a ritual, then he's talking about something else. He's talking, what he's given is the essence. So devotees will say, oh, what Prabhupada gives is so elaborate, this, that, so... No. Like that. You read the Vedic literatures. If Prabhupada's taken a tenth, a twentieth, a hundredth of what is there in ritual. Like that. The amount of ritual that is there for a human being, it wouldn't be able to be practiced in this age. We couldn't get the ingredients, no one has the purity. It means if you want to do the Vedic sacrifices and all that, you have to be on the platform of purity no one in this age has. So then what door is open to them? So because they are unqualified, therefore the only hope is the essence. Right? It's just like, let's say, you want to cook something very nice and elaborate and sophisticated, but a person doesn't have the ingredients or the ability. Right? So he can't not eat, so therefore you just teach him the essence of what cooking is, that you just put it there and it's boiled until it's soft. Right? Like that. And if they get that, they eat. Does that make some sense? So that's there. But in the spiritual platform, the essence is the topmost. In the material, it's seen as the lower. But it's the topmost. So chanting Hare Krishna, just serving the Lord, this is the essence. And even that devotees can't do. It means the deity worship Prabhupada gave devotees, very few are able to do nowadays. They can't do it. You know, it's just like you. Prabhupada had the glories in the house, had deities, but they did the same worship as in the temple. Maybe not as many times, but when they bathed the deities, dressed them, it was the same. Nowadays, it's the only question I ever get on deities is it okay to bathe them, you know, once on a goddess suit? I don't get another question. You know what I'm saying? So the standards are there, it's already below. So the essence is worship the deity. Chant Hare Krishna, associate, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the person pontificates on, oh yes, with the Vedic rituals. No, they couldn't even do them if they had to. So they're looking at it as it's so much lower. No, as far as material qualification goes, it's so much higher that they don't even qualify. So because of that wretched condition, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's given us the Bhagavad and Pancharatrika. With that, we can connect ourselves and be picked up. Then from that, if anything Veda comes in, nice. It doesn't matter to us, because the Bhagavad and Pancharatrika will take us back to Godhead. But if we have social needs beyond what the Bhagavad and Pancharatrika provide, you know, something like marriage, then that requires a Vedic. Does that make some sense? So it's, there's, it must be this balance between that the Bhagavat and all that's the highest, if you compare it between spiritual and material. But within material qualifications required for Bhagavat or Pancharat or Vedic, there's none required for Bhagavat, but there's a huge amount for Vedic. So the reading, does that make some sense? So then they can't say, oh, the Vedic's a lower position based on their own qualities of intelligence and this and that, because then they didn't make it. You know, by making the statement, they showed that they are below the standard. Does that make some sense? Like that. And if the other's there, then they understand the other, then they'll understand how it connects. Because otherwise, what are they going to do with their material body and mind and intelligence, ego, senses, that? Like that. If they just say, oh, we only chant Hare Krishna, then great. That is the recommendation. Do it. Sit down, 24 hours, chant. Don't worry about your eating, sleeping, nothing. It'll happen. The body, modes of nature will take care of your body. Right? But we don't see it. So that means then they have a body, they know they got a body, and they want to take care of that body. So then how are you going to do that? Bhagavat doesn't say one word on that, other than do it for Krishna. Pancharatra doesn't say one word on it, other than do it in connection with the deity. Right? And if the statement is, I do it because I like it, then we got a problem. That's below Vedic. So this is what we see, is we're straddling two worlds. We're Bhagavat Pancharatrik and then Malecha. So as we follow the Bhagavat Pancharatrik, that'll bring us from the Malecha platform up to the human platform. Then the Vedic society will make sense. And as we advance also, that's on the material qualification. On the spiritual qualifications, as one comes to the Madhyama platform, one understands how the Vedic actually connects in. Others have material needs and desires, and that's not a problem. Conditioned nature is there, let them do, but do in a proper way. So one doesn't feel bad that others have material desires, and I'm trying to give up material desires. It doesn't matter. Understand? So these two things, basically they happen simultaneously. The qualities required to function on the human platform and the spiritual advancement to be able to accommodate the broadness of the human and non-human platforms basically happens at the Madhyama stage. Right? And then the Madhyama is able to appreciate devotees. So therefore then culturally everything works. And below that, then if you have the material qualification, it works. Now you see Hindus, not advanced, but they have material qualification enough to make it kind of work. Like that. So that's nice, but it's not enough. One has to have the spiritual understanding of qualifications. So you combine that, and then it works. Like that. So by following the process, then after, you know, time, Prabhupada says automatically, all the qualities of the demigods automatically appear. By chanting, by serving, when the heart becomes purified, you start to contemplate your motives, your desires, you start to see the, you know, the unnecessary aspects, you try to work towards removing that, and by doing that, then all good qualities just naturally manifest. And then with time, all this just happens. Does that make sense? Then it'll be understood what's there.
I have a question that the Brahmanas, they come from the Navagraha Puja?
Oh, in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Vrindavan is the whole broad range of the Vedic culture comes out of Vrindavan. Now, in the material world, then the Bhagavat process is the highest externally, because that's what you're trying to get to. And anything external means you're conscious of it. Right? So therefore, Vedic is the lowest, Pancharatra is higher than that, because Vedic is broad, just everything. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Then Pancharatra is higher than that, because Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha is kicked out, all it is worship of Vishnu, but with rules and regulations to suit the purify the conditioned nature. Bhagavat then goes above that, it doesn't deal with the conditioned nature. So So it's just the pure relationship between the Lord and the living entities. But now, in that, then the broadness of what you can do becomes restricted, right? Because you're trying to get out of the material world, so you restrict material activity until you get to the neutral platform. Once you get to the neutral platform, then again you open up the activities. Does that make sense? So that means is that everything that's here in the material world has its origin in whatever's in the spiritual world. So we see is that because that, the Vedic is the lowest here, it'll be the highest there. Right? But it's inherent underneath is the Bhagavad. It's only Bhagavad, but it takes the form of Vedic. Right? Because if you didn't have Brahmins, how would you have this kind of thing? If you didn't have Brahmins, how would the pastimes of Madhu Mangal all come? How would you have these samskaras that you can do all these things? So the Vedic creates the cultural environment in which everything can be tasted. Right? Because it's the broadest. When it comes to broadness in culture, in depth in culture, you don't find anything broader than the Vedic. It gets into everything. No one's left out. Like that. But the tribals, even they have a place and something within it. But in the modern, if you talk about Western culture, then it actually means sophistication. So that means there's nothing for the street people. But the Vedic goes from the most sophisticated, right, you know, beyond those who are not qualified to be on the street. They got to live out in the forest. Right? So it goes, the full means what range. We all have something. So therefore Vrindavan manifests the broadest range of the whole culture. It means even Vaikuntha is less. You know, Dwarka will be less like that. So then it has everything is there. All the different varnas, all the ashrams, all the different interactions and all this and that are there. But in a proportion to bring out the most taste.
We are saying we accept the very, or we have to make our own culture. Uh-huh. There's no other method. Because you said that the ones who don't accept Pancharatrika and the scriptures are actually a disturbance in society. Mm-hmm. So now we see this kind of society, the position of Prabhupada has played so clearly. In other words, they're trying to cut down things because they cannot fit. Or they cannot understand, or they cannot perform.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, the body should be educated as brahmacharis, uh-huh. not mixing with girls until they are graduated, 18, 19, 20 years old, uh-huh. or 24. Then, when they want to get married, they're going to look for girls who are virgins, uh-huh. from 13 until 15. Uh-huh. But this is seen in the Western society as someone who has to go to jail, someone uh-huh. who's beyond 18 and looking for a young girl, is a dead pervert.
Uh-huh.
So, now Western society, we're trying to feed Krishna consciousness, don't work. They now they're trying to mix boys and girls together like it will be okay now this is a society. So what we expect if we can mix in the Vedic with the Western. But I want to please word. It's very dangerous what's happening.
The main thing is the principle has to be gotten. What is the principle of this? The principle is that a boy should be educated means looking at this. Because in other words the Vedic idea is you're marrying an educated, qualified boy to a qualified girl. That's what the principle is. So now, the whole culture being geared to that, then it would take a different form before. You would see it differently. Like this, is that it's understood unless they're trained in the whole Vedic knowledge and all that, and then the specifics of their particular nature, occupation. You know, that's a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Then they're not qualified to get married, because if they get married, they have to maintain. Maintain comes from occupation, that's Varna. And then how they're going to deal in the house of the members of the house and the society is going to be their ashram. So, and a grihastha has to interface in the broadest social situation. That means they have to be the most qualified. And it doesn't happen automatically. It has to be trained. So then the Vedic consideration was is they should learn one, two, or best is three Vedas. So if they learn three Vedas, that makes them 32 when they get married. If they learn two, they'll be 24, and if they learn one, they'll be 16, or whatever in between. And at the same time as girls, because it was understood what it meant to hold down the household and all that, then and you had qualified men to take care. Therefore, then there was no worry they would be taken care of, so girls disqualified themselves to be in the family. So that can be done then at a younger age. We don't generally deal in the Western culture, deal with it until later, because anyway, they wait until after school, right? So supposedly, if they at least 18, they graduated high school, if not better, they've got the university degree, like that. So, you know, late teens, early 20s. And then after that, because there's no time before, because you have your homework, you have this, you have that. So therefore, then only it's talked about after then. So then the difficulty is this habit's not there. So then you take such a girl, and technically she's not qualified to get married. You take any girl out of school. What does she know about family life? What does she know about taking care of kids, changing diapers, can she cook? You know, would she know how to fold her own clothes? Can she do any of that? So no, so yes, she's not qualified. So by Vedic standards, Western standards, she's not qualified. Because she's been trained that way. That's the way she's been brought up. She's supposed to be qualified either afterwards or by at least the American standards. As soon as you do it, you become immediately qualified. That's the American. Americans are mavericks, so whatever comes into their mind, it just happens, right? You see, like in European Western theme is that somebody very qualified, you know, becomes good and is accepted and respected in society. But the American, no, just the guy off the street, the common guy, he had a vision, he had a determination, and he claws his way to the top and he makes it. That's the American thing. So there was nothing, you know, the guy is just a bozo, and then the situation changes, and then suddenly he turns into, you know, this number one top trained commando, you know, and does all the things that even probably a top-trained commando couldn't do, you know. And it just happens in a moment. Just, you know, something happens and, you know, some emotion comes up. That's all it takes is emotion. But the bottom line is love, and the bottom line of that is sex. You know, the guy's been shot 20 times with a gun, but because the girl loves him and comes up and cries on his shoulder and kisses him, he comes back to life. Right? And every, you know, intelligent, scientific, down-to-earth, practical American accepts that theme. Like that. Everybody else just says, my God, Hollywood's crazy. But Americans are really convinced that really this is the real thing. If the attachment is strong enough, everything will work. You know, so it's a, yeah. They're not qualified, but the thing is I think what he's pointing out is it's understood is okay, the girl is naked when she's 5 years old, but now she's 25, if she's naked, it's not going to be looking good. The point is Prabhupada gave us this culture 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And so we still stand on, oh, it doesn't work, or it's modern, or it's this or that. It doesn't look good. You know, the whole idea is if it's there, well, what is it? How to make it work? And actually progress. It takes time. You want to establish a society, a culture. You talk about generations. No, it's not going to happen overnight. But unless the vision is there that this is what we want, this is where we are now, okay, what can we do to get this part connected? And then take it. So the point is the girl has to be qualified. That means before she gets married, whatever the age is, she should know what it means to be a wife, to be a mother, you know, like that. So that has to be trained. But is there a system? There isn't. So that's my point. So the Vedic has kind of a system like that. The Western doesn't. They, you know, it's everybody, every person for themselves, you know. And, you know, and being without support. So then it makes it very difficult. So that's not good. So then they have to be trained. So whatever age they are, that's a detail. The point is a girl becomes a woman when she hits puberty. She may be an unqualified woman But she's a woman nonetheless. She thinks like one, she has the desires of one, everything like one, you know. West figures that's a good time for, what do you call it? Having fun. Like that.
Get the feels.
So like that. Just like if a young girl, 12-year-old girl, has a crush on a boy. That's called puppy love, right? But it's actually, what's the difference between puppy love and a 30-year-old woman who has a, all it is unbridled lust, physical attraction. That's the only difference. The romantic aspect is exactly the same. So what's actually the love? The romance? Or the attract, the mechanic, the, how do you say, unbridled magnetic draw between the genitals? Which of the two is actually love? So that means that that puppy love that that girl feels is as, you know, has as much substance as the 20-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 40-year-old. But because it doesn't have that lust to it, therefore the adults who are accustomed to the world of lust say, oh, it's a small thing. So it doesn't matter. So they don't mind letting the girl break her heart and this and that because they did it themselves anyway. They've had their heart, you know, it's like that. So then, therefore, you know, I went through it, they can go through it. So the idea is debated is that shouldn't be happening. It's something special, right? That first connection is something special. It should be kept, remain sacred. So therefore, because it's sacred to the girl, it's sacred in the tradition. So the girl shouldn't come in contact. It's fine. Girl doesn't get married till she's, you know, 18, 20, fine. But she shouldn't come in contact with the boy until then. Then when she does, it's the same special. Late, she's gone a little neurotic in the meantime, but it still has some specialness. You know what I'm saying? But this modern, where's the specialty? Right? It means the girl can remember the first boy. She can't remember. There's a blur in between. And then there's what she's with now. But she can't remember that first one without feeling that she's unchaste of the one she's with now. So the Vedic ideal is there shouldn't be a difference. There shouldn't be a duality. That first one should be the one she's with. Then that romantic aspect can last the whole life. Otherwise, the romantic aspect kind of disappears pretty fast. So this is the nature. The Vedic culture knows these things because God made men and women, so then they know what we're dealing with. So he's saying the girl shouldn't be disappointed and the boy shouldn't think, because when the boy's with the girl, he thinks he's Lord of the universe. Okay, so he thinks he's really qualified. But he's not. You know, he's qualified when he's qualified. And that's nothing to do with the girl. Then when he's qualified by his training, then he can go live with the girl and then be Lord of the Universe and actually get something done. You know? There's no use having the Lord of the Universe. It's useless. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that since these are the dynamics of what's going on in the relationship, they shouldn't be spoiled. So, okay, if we want to shift this whole thing back so many years, that's fine. But the same principle should be there. You know, when the girl gets married, that's the first boy she should have been with. And the boy should be qualified to hold down a family, whatever that means. You know, and he should have the proper spiritual direction. He can actually take the family somewhere. You know, because he can't. And his senses should be controlled. Because otherwise, the wife's going to try to control them. And if the wife is in control, she's not satisfied. Right? Just like you have kids. A new teacher comes into the classroom. The first thing they do is see how far they can push the limit. And if they can push it right over the cliff, you know, it seems like they're having fun, but they're not. They're actually not satisfied because they actually want to be put into place and controlled and learn. So the same way as the women will take the men, see how far they can control it. But they're not satisfied. They actually want to be taken care of and controlled. That's the nature. So then, if the boy's senses are controlled, unless he has knowledge, unless he knows what he's dealing with, how will he function? So if the boys and girls mix when they're young, That means they don't know. The boy simply thinks, okay, I know, I learned a few clever lines how to get the girl into the bushes. Right? And that's enough to hold down his lifetime of marriage and raise a family? Not really. And society will say, well, what to do? But the point is you're ruining the girl's life, because now there's going to be nothing special about when she does get married. You know, it's necessary, it's a practicality, it's this. But what about the specialness? That's lost forever. Right? Then, you know, yeah, in the movies, somehow or another, they work it back into specialness, but it only lasts for 2 hours in a movie. You know, then you go back out into the reality of the streets, you know, the same old wife and the same old this and the same old that, you know, whatever. So then, that's gone. And at the same time is now this guy thinks he knows how to deal with women. He has no idea. He's completely controlled by them. But he thinks he's the big man. It's absolutely useless. So what woman can be satisfied? So knowing this, then the culture is there. Okay, our girls aren't trained at an early age. Our boys aren't trained. We have our problems. So, you know, everyone needs to be educated nicely. So then we have to see that the education is full. Generally what happens is the girls don't learn the culture, you know, and they learn the academics and the modern. And then in the boys is then they should learn the academics, they don't learn the culture either. Or if they go to Gurukul, they learn the culture, no academics. So then you put these two together and it doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Well, the Vedic is a girl learned the culture, the boy learned the culture and the academics. And the girl, according to what was her nature, she learned those academics. She wasn't obliged to learn, only in what areas she was interested. She was into Sanskrit, she learned Sanskrit. Wasn't, she didn't. The boy had to learn Sanskrit. If he was a Brahmin, so he was. Does that make some sense? Like that kind of a thing. That means the point is that the principle, what you're saying is correct. But it's if there's a vision, you figure in the future things will be there. Because the point is, as we may say, but modern is like this and they're always going to get married later anyway. But we have to remember is that at the end of Kali Yuga, it goes the other way. Someone will be an old man if they live to 20. And it says, girls will be mothers at 4 and boys at 5. So figure out how old they were when they were, you know. So it's going to go down. And though you go in the West, girls are hitting puberty earlier and earlier and earlier. Girls are getting pregnant earlier and earlier and earlier. So the Western culture says what it likes about no, this is this, but they're upping the ante. You know, it's every year the girls are. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is as devotees, that aspect we have to pull out. Maybe the girls aren't qualified, they don't have the support, that's fine. It'll come with time, if we have that vision. But boys and girls uselessly associating with others, that we can cut out. There's no need of that going on. That has no benefit on either platform. You know, neither Western or Indian. You know, it doesn't, Vedic or this, it doesn't have any benefit. That we can cut out, that we can do today. It's not a matter of, oh, we can't do that, or we're not in control, or that all it takes is a word to somebody. You know, pleasant or otherwise. You know, like that. And then, you know, the idea gets across. Does that make sense? And then we work at it, okay, seeing how we do. What is necessary? Okay, I'm an older woman. Okay, now I know what works in a marriage. And all that, how can I give that to my daughter? Right? Not the details, but the principles. And as she gets older, then I'll add in the details. But details added to principles is easy. But details without principle, then it's like so much memorization, it doesn't make sense. So it's like, what is it? What is really what works? What is that woman really looking for? What does she really need? What does she expect from a man? What is it she wants from marriage life in the house? You know, whatever it is, the relationships, the community, and then teach them how to deal on that, the principle. Because they have that, 3-year-olds have their culture also. They have their whole society and the whole thing going on, and, you know, like that. So the same principles apply to them. You know? So then it gets up, and then these principles are in place, and the practice is in place, and when they hit, they come of age, then they understand bridge, how it applies in this side. And if they don't, then the mother can let them know those things at that time. But the principle has to be given to the body. It's not a matter of later, because it's something you gotta practice. You know, you want to be expert, you know, to hold down your own house and manage the whole thing. That's practice. Like that. So take it, that time is necessary. You know? And
this is something about Marcus, you were saying, in what society are they gonna be if they only learn the Vedic? Lord Krishna says, worshiping with devotion, I carry what you need, I protect what you have. So what kind of society Lord Krishna's statements works?
Uh-huh.
In all places, in all universes.
It always works. Main thing is that it's what is the principle that makes it work, and what's the mood of application. Those are the most important. Because even the most correct application with the wrong mood, or the right mood, the wrong application, don't work. So that's why it has to be gotten. Otherwise, so generally what happens is the middle is hard to hit. It's like if you're working on a pendulum, it has a tendency to always go past the middle and go to the other side. And then when that didn't work, then it goes to the, like this. And so to get it to the middle, you have to catch it and be in control of it, and then knowing where you want to get it, then move it there, and when it gets there, then let go of it. The pendulum just won't work. So it has to see, okay, well, what is the mood? Now, Prabhupada's saying something. What is the mood behind it? Right? Like Prabhupada mentions about his mother. She goes from her house to the next door neighbors. Right? The only thing between her and the next door neighbors is one wall. It's that close. But she gets in her, in the horse carriage. The men of the, you know, the neighboring family where she's going, pulls that out of her driveway, puts it into their driveway, and then closes the gate, and then she comes out and goes in and, you know, and then visits the family. So the principle is the girl's not seen. So now, and why not seen? Because then it creates interest, undue trouble, so many different things. Now, okay, now does that mean now we get out a whole bunch of carriages and the men are all there dragging them all over the project and all that? No, the principles are not seen. How are they not seen? One is that they themselves don't put themselves in situations where they are seen. They know where are the... means you ask anybody, where are the places if you want to be seen where you go? Okay, you don't go there. Right? The mood that they do, how they dress, these all make a girl seen or not seen. Right? If a girl dresses in a very exposed way, everybody will notice her. And if a girl dresses in a very... conservative way, no one notices. So the principle has been attained without the horse carriage. Right? In the future, maybe it'll develop, that kind of thing will be there, but right now. So it's not like, oh, well, we're not going to have that kind of thing, my daughter going around in a palanquin and all that, we can't pay for the servants, stuff like that. So, but the principle is there. So then the mother teaches the daughter how to move through a crowd and not be seen. Like that. You know, these kind of things are there. They're simple. And then, does that kind of make sense? So that's what's seen. Okay, she, you know, when she gets married and she hasn't met any other boys, so then what does that mean? How to train her? Like that. Why? Why she shouldn't? You know, not that it's just it's bad or it's sinful or it's this. Why is it sinful? Because it goes against the feminine nature. Like that. Feminine nature has a nature. You do something against that, that's sinful. You do something in line with that, that's pious. So, therefore, because the heart is delicate, it can be given once. Right? Therefore, to go against that is sinful. And to support that is pious. So the principle is theirs, that should be explained. It's understood what you're dealing with. Right? So then, and then, what are you looking for? Okay, you want to give, but you respect the guy? You don't respect, why give? Like that. And can you respect someone who's not trained, who has no knowledge, the senses aren't controlled? Right? So So that's the point. Something unstable takes shelter of something else unstable. There's no use. So there must be stability. So like that, if you see what is the principle behind it, and that can be applied today. The principles can always be applied. But as the culture develops and the qualities are there, then naturally the community will start to come together. And other aspects that are more obvious of it will manifest. You know? So that's the important thing, is that basically what you come down is to the conservatives and the liberals, right? Like that. Or sometimes the reactionary right to the, you know, what do you call it? Bleeding heart liberal left, right? So the thing is both of them have missed the point. Because the point is in the middle. So that the conservative wants to follow the rules in the Shastra, that's correct. But that they want to stuff it down everybody's throat in a very rough way is not. Because it's a matter of education. Our movement's an education movement. So it has to be educated. Somebody knows, they're happy to do it. Right? If they're not, then they don't want to do it. So education is a thing. So it has to be a way to get it across that there is something of benefit here. Otherwise, why is the rule there? And there can't be the thing, I'm following the rules, so therefore the whole world's got to follow it. And if I'm not following it, then, you know, what does it matter? So many times that's sensed in the conservative group. Only because they're into it, therefore, they think everybody else should be. And then the other side, then there's no standard. Liberality has been taken to such an extent that, you know, you're even as liberal about standards. So then there's nothing, no stability. And if there's no stability, there's no foundation for anything. Any relationship, family unit, community unit, society unit, nothing. It has to be common standard. Like that. And then from that, you can create, you know, variations for time, place, and circumstance. So there must be a common value. Yeah. So then that's the weakness on that side. But that they want to be sensitive and caring and all that, that's good. So now you can imagine if you took a person who had standards and had values and according to Shastra and was sensitive and considerate and put that together, then you have what's talked about in the scriptures. Yeah, then you have already. Now, generally what happens is it goes both ways. The fanatics are really nasty and the liberals are, you know, out, you know, way out, who knows where. So then the difficulty comes is, where's the commonality? And neither of them work. Right? Neither of them work. Even in the Vedic literatures, you hear stories of people who took on the smarter mentality. And they would always create trouble in the Vedic society. Because they would over-apply rules. They made trouble for everybody. Like that. Those stories are always there. At the same time, people who didn't follow, those stories are there also. So the point is it's the middle that's right, not this party or that party. Right? It means that they have a platform to stand on, means it's something that's come from the Vedic, because there is only Vedic. Right? So then, some of them have taken this aspect of the Vedic and stood to the right, and this is put this aspect of the Vedic and stood to the left. You know, dealing with the individual, being sensitive to the needs, you know, trying to do right to the other person, that the liberals have taken, and then stepped off the middle onto the left. You know, because they forgot to take with them the standards that sensitivity is based on. Why be sensitive? Why do you have to be sensitive to a kid? Right, well, I mean, on what basis? People do it out of experience, but why? Because that's the nature. The mentality isn't developed, the maturity isn't developed, they don't actually know what to do, they don't have a vision, they don't see past this moment, they don't see past the senses or their own emotions. So they're in a dangerous position. They would be exploited a lot. Therefore, they have to be kind to them and protect them. That's because of their nature. Right? So that nature has been given by God. So God gives the system for dealing with that nature. So now one is the kindness. At the same time is they don't know what to do. And if they don't know what to do when they're old, they'll have trouble. Therefore, you have to establish standards. So we see both of them working at once. The setting of standards and direction and giving a value system and vision from the right is the and the other one, and the sensitivity and the kindness and the broad-mindedness and the forgiveness and all that of the left. So that's all that works. So generally when I see these things where you have these splits in community and all these things and meetings and everyone yelling, screaming, you only find these two sides. You don't find the middle. So Prabhupada's giving the middle.
Yeah.
And he's giving examples showing how it works and all those kinds of things. And so if it's not working, means we haven't hit the middle. You know what I'm saying? Because if you hit the middle, both sides, it resonates in both sides. You know, both sees that what they are saying is completely there in what has been said here. And the other side sees the same, because the Vedic includes all. You know, somebody takes five this side, five that side. But if in the middle you speak ten, both feel yes. And because this, strength of, yes, of course, it is. It means, see, but there's two views that one has to take, like that. It completely depends on leadership, because of whatever leadership establishes, that's what basically will happen. But at the same time, as each individual is and makes their own independent decision, and despite anyone else, can go on. Though it may be externally difficult in that, but they can still make their effort for it. So if we say it's all the leadership, and until leadership is together, we can't function, then we won't get anywhere. Each individual has to take it up. And the leadership says, well, until people are willing to follow leadership, have respect for authority and all that, they're going to get nowhere. They got to take the humble position to work. And the others have to take responsibility. If we say it's the leadership, then that means we may be trying to get rid of our responsibility in the equation. You know, throw it on the leaders. Well, unless they set it up, how can I function? No, I can take responsibility for my life. It may not go great, but I can take it and make that effort. And so if everyone makes that commitment, the whole thing works. But generally what happens is each one says, well, when the other one, I can remember one yogi, it was really funny, is there was, you know, this is back in the days of the Raj, so you had a wide variety of persons who would come to yagyas and would give initiations and all those kind of things. And, you know, each one is, you know, special like that. And each one is, you know, has their importance. So no one wants to come down to the yagya until everything's ready and everybody's there. So after about, I don't know, it was quite a few hours, you know, going to this one, well, are those ones there? No. Okay, I'll come when they're there. And after a couple of hours of that, each one won't come down until all the other ones, you know, the other ten were there. Then I just decided to start the yagya. And then when all that started, then everybody came running down. But the point is then nothing happens. So each member of the community is like, well, this one's this, that one's that, and what can I do and that, then it's never going to get anywhere. But if each person takes the responsibility, I will do what I can to get my life together. That's not leadership. It's not leadership, but we're not discussing leadership here. We're talking about you as an individual getting your life together and going back to Godhead. Whether it's leadership or not, you can still do that. So it's a matter of, you want to go back to Godhead, that's one thing. You want ideal leadership, that's another thing. Leadership can be engaged in Krishna's service to make it easier for everybody to go back to Godhead. But leadership is a mundane thing. Going back to Godhead is separate. Lord Chaitanya couldn't care less who was the leaders in India. You had Malecha Yavanas who were running the place. They didn't care. As long as they let them perform their spiritual activities. So it's two different conversations. Because if the emphasis is on it for the leaders. This is a discussion amongst leaders that if they don't get it together, then who's going to follow? Right? It's just like there's conversations between the father and mother. That's conversations for them. It's not for the kid. Now if the kid goes, well, what about it, you know, mother and father aren't together? That's their discussion. So it's if one is a leader, one has those discussions amongst leaders. And if one's a follower, then one figures out what one should do and just try to do it. And if there's some leadership there to cling to, great. And if not, then Prabhupada's books are here, advanced devotees are there. One can find always some association to cultivate one's own spiritual life. Leadership is another thing. If it's there, great. You know? It makes life a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is the leadership discussions are not a general forum like that. It's specifically for the forum of leadership. So the question here is, in Vedic times, the girls would get their training from other women, their mothers, mothers-in-law, and this. Nowadays, they get it from sannyasis, gurus, this and that. Main thing is the normal thing is the mother and other ladies will train in what is, you know, what one should do. But in times of emergencies, you can get it from anywhere. You know, it's just like, when things are proper, then this naturally, the Brahmins, they actually do, you know, all the things and like this, pujas, this and that. In emergency, then you know, then we get the, you know, whatever, the tribals to take it up, like that, until the, you know, actual Brahmins come forth. So the main point is it's a matter of knowledge must be gained from whatever place, like that. So it has its natural places, but it can be learned from anywhere. As it says, gold can be taken even from a dirty place. It says, knowledge can be taken from anyone. So knowledge can be taken from anyone. I'm not sure if it's gold from a dirty place and a qualified girl from any family. I think it's those are all one. So the principle is there is that if there's something good, then it can be accepted. So like that. But whoever is saying it, you know, should have some foundation, you know, have some understanding. So it's making well over time. Oh, you want to say something, Maharaj?
I just one small question.
Oh, okay.
Just in reference towards the balance between Panchatrik and Bhagavad-Gita, Mark, we've seen in the histories when there's extremes, one side Panchatrik or Bhagavad, or those who claim to be in the Bhagavad platform, difficulty arise.
Uh-huh.
So do you suggest that the problems emphasize the proper balance and
between the two.
And that way that would be a way to allow us proper foothold.
Yeah, I would say it's probably going to take you to make a balance between the three, because the Vedic has also been included. So he's taken out of there what is the, you know, principles and attitudes of the Vedic, and then the essential principles. Like he said, cleanliness and punctuality, that is the essence of the Pancharatra. Because everything is how to clean, and then the other is how everything should be according to this time in the day, time in the season, you know, time in the year, all these different things. So everything goes, that is the essence. So if it's clean, and things are done at the proper time, so that means your situation is proper, then the bhakti can be properly expressed. Because if Pancharatra is a medium for that devotion. So then Prabhupada's given that, and then the Bhagavad, he emphasizes it, you know, those five principles, hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham. And he has to take it beyond that. Because beyond that, it doesn't matter anyway. You can tell a first grader about what they're going to learn in quantum mechanics. It doesn't matter. They can't do anything with it anyway. Okay, maybe they learn a few terminologies, but it's still, they don't know what to talk about. So the point is, it's just like this. You don't have to tell a teenage girl what a boy is. You know, so when she's 8 years old, you know, a boy is this or that. You don't have to tell her. So people who are 8 years old and have heard from other girls, teenage girls, about this, then they are, or teenage girls, they talk about it to anybody. But the mothers don't. They know when this girl hits teenage, she'll know what it is. I don't have to say anything now. But she now has to learn how to properly behave, how to become qualified, how to, you know, be educated, and cultured. That will come automatically. So Prabhupada is one of those mature devotees. They know that if you follow this process, and so many of the details of the Bhagavad, they're automatically revealed when you get to that platform. So therefore, if you focus on of the Bhagavad, on the preaching, you know, hearing and chanting, and the preaching, your own sadhana, and giving that to others, and nice worship of the deity and the prasad and all that, and regulation in your life, everything else will come. That whatever you need from the Vedic will come as you become qualified from the Pancharatrika. By following the Pancharatrika, you become qualified for that. By following the Pancharatrika, you become pure enough to accept the Bhagavad. So that's actually our central situation. I mean, but the core of it, the life of it, is the Bhagavad. Pancharatrika mantras are called Nam-Atmika. The life, the name is the life of those mantras. So Gayatri mantras, the holy name, is the life. So it's understood, but you have to be alive to appreciate it. Right? And then you can function the Bhagavad. If you're dead, you're not going to function. And unless you have good mundane qualities, the Vedic isn't going to work so great for you. So that's only going to come from the purification from the regulation of the the Pancharatra with the life of the Bhagavad. Then those qualities will come up. So then you'll just see everything just starts to fall into place. The Vedic, whatever we need, works. The Pancharatrika makes sense, and the Bhagavad we're able to appreciate the fine aspects of it. So Prabhupada's perfectly given that, and he hasn't said more or said less. Like that. Because if you say more, something that shouldn't be emphasized gets overemphasized. It's important. But those who understand it will have caught it. And those who don't, who are working on the external platform, then they may catch it. Oh, Prabhupada said this many times. But it may not be for them. So someone says four, we'll catch it. You know, there's some statements Prabhupada makes once or twice in all his books and teachings. Like that. You know, and then when that means something, then that will be understood. And when it doesn't, then it's not meant to be discussed more. Otherwise, why did he only say it once or twice? And those things he constantly says, like you're not your body, that's something important that you can say to anyone, anywhere, at any time, in any place. Like that. And those things he says once or twice, then you have to see the context he's saying it in, and only in those situations is that done. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then you also get spiritual social difficulty because things Prabhupada mentioned once or twice, then that becomes the talk of the day. And things like we're not our bodies, oh, we've heard that many times, so isn't there anything new? Yeah, all these things, you know. But that is, when you understand you're not the body and your soul, you are in the spiritual world at one point. That's all. At one point, if you perfect that one point, you're already situated in spiritual, you know, like that. So it's Prabhupada's given the points that you perfect it, you are perfect. It's not just, you know, some little thing. It is the tool and it is the. Rajshima Bhagavatam ki, Rajshima Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakti ki, and I go with them.